Welcome to the Wealthy, Wealthy, Wise podcast, where you will get to listen in on the thought-provoking conversations with countercultural business, financial, and money thought leaders, sharing their wisdom and insights with your host, Christina Wise. Christina Wise is a highly successful serial entrepreneur, real estate investor, best-selling author, millionaire business and money coach, and the founder of the Wealthy, Wealthy brand. Christina has mastered the money game, and now her mission is to help everyone willing to do the work win the money game too. If you are looking to upgrade your financial life, stop worrying about money, and start living the fulfilling life you deserve, strap in, take a deep breath, and get ready to learn. This podcast will change the way you think about business, money, and wealth. Let's get into it.
Welcome back. This is Christina Wise, your host. In this episode, I interview Lisa Copeland. Lisa is the author of a new book called Car Buying Her Way. She's also launching a radio show called Cars Her Way. Lisa was one of the few women dealer owners and made it her specialty to own a dealership that catered to the buying style of women. And it worked. She wound up being one of the leading dealerships in the country. In this episode, we talk about the four steps to car buying. She shares many negotiation tips and other advice for getting the best deals on a car, things that the industry doesn't want you to know. And man or woman, if you want to know the secrets to car buying and getting a great deal, you'll want to listen in. Please enjoy my conversation with Lisa Copeland. Lisa, it is so much fun to be here with you today, girl. It's just so good to see you. It's been a long time.
Gosh, I think it's been like 5 years since you had me on another one of your shows. I remember going to your house, sitting on the couch and filming that great show that you were doing.
Yeah, so much has happened in 5 years, and I'm really looking forward to today's conversation because I think it's really needed, and it's not a conversation people have very often. And this is about car buying and for female car buying. I know myself, and I don't know how many females, if not a good majority, scared to death to go to the car lot and buy a car. But before we jump into that, please share with my listeners just a little bit about you. You've been in the car business for your entire life. And one of the few females, I'd say, in the car business and owning dealerships and doing what you've done as a woman. So yeah, share your story.
Thanks. So I'm a former automotive dealer here in Austin, Texas, and I sold my store in March of 2016. And I went on a journey because, you know, I've always been convinced. My young sales team in 2012 broke the world sales record, and it was almost an all-female team, about 60-40. In the car business, that's unheard of. And, you know, and what I found over the years of being a car dealer is that women absolutely hate the process. They hate the process, but they purchase 54% of the new vehicles sold in 2018, and they influence 85% of them, whether they're influencing their friends, their children, their parents, whatever it may be. So, and as women, we love to shop. Like, it's what we do, but nobody wants to shop for a car. So putting that whole puzzle piece together, I decided to open a dealership at the Domain Shopping Center in Austin. That was phase one of my dealership. And it was amazing how much business we did because we kind of took the experience to the customer, to where they were comfortable. You know, they're already walking around the Domain. They're enjoying the shopping experience. So, you know, let's look for some shoes. Let's go look at a car. And it was quite crazy successful. And where I saw us turn a bend, take a turn, is when we were so successful, we had to move out into a traditional location. And all of a sudden, we were not as successful. And, you know, and so that was a very, very big trigger for me, because then all of a sudden now it got down to, well, I'm just buying a car again. I'm not just shopping, enjoying the experience, doing what I love to do as a consumer. I'm going to the car dealership. Ugh. And I'm telling you, girl, from the day we made the move, and I had to, because we had sold so many cars, I had to have a service department. Couldn't have a service department in the Domain and selling 1,000 cars a year. We had outgrown the space 2 months after we got there. So had to make a business decision. But, you know, it really sent me on a journey of, you know, of the female consumer, studying the female consumer. Because sometimes when you're in the thick of things, you don't see what you see when you step out like I do at a 10,000 foot view. And, you know, so after I sold my dealership in March of 16, Cars Her Way was birthed. And it took me about a year to put everything together. And we officially did a soft launch about a month ago, and of our website, of our trusted dealer partners. And then we're doing our official launch July 7th. And it's exciting, but it's been quite a journey, and speaking to literally thousands of female consumers. And it isn't that women are afraid to shop. They're not afraid to negotiate. It's none of that. It's just that, you know, as girls, we don't want to do what we don't want to have to do. Right. And that's what it gets down to. And that's what these car dealers are thinking. Well, I'm going to teach my salespeople how to sell to women. You don't have to sell to me any different than you sell to anybody else. But you better make sure that I'm having a good time while I'm doing it. Otherwise, I'm going to make it my last priority.
All right. Well, let's talk about Cars Her Way. I know you have a brand new book that's come out, and I'm super excited for that and get that in the hands of every woman, because there's something empowering about buying a car and going and doing that and negotiating it. And we're shopping, we're buying the car, we're negotiating. We have the success of driving that car off the lot and feeling good about it. So how do you break all this down? Let's talk about buying cars her way. What do you mean when you say that?
Yeah, thank you. So the book is Car Buying Her Way, The Fierce Girl's Roadmap to the Car of Your Dreams. But I'll tell you, Christina, I've got a bunch of my business hacks in it too, because I learned more about being a businesswoman, about breaking glass ceilings, about working in a male-dominated industry in the auto industry. And it was pretty rough and tumble. And I learned that women are not really welcome at the table. Now, we may get a seat. I had a seat at the table. I was the only woman on the National Dealer Council for Fiat Chrysler Automobiles. So I was a senator to about 2,300 dealers. But, you know, the boys don't want to let us in the club. They don't, at least in the automotive industry. Now, they're like with anything. It's an 80-20 rule, right? There's 20% of the guys that are like, come on, I see your value. But the 80% are hanging on to what they know. Because, and so, you know, that's a whole nother podcast. But so in the book, I break down. Car buying is easy as long as you know four steps and you have them done up front prior to going to the dealership. Go to our website, carsherway.com, and you can actually search all the inventory as of Wednesday in Texas. Every car, it's in Texas at every car dealership in the state. But search for the car that you want. You know, go out and try to get an idea of what you want ahead of time, because confusion creates bad decisions. All right. So, I mean, you know, you probably know, I mean, you might want a Mazda and a Toyota. That's cool. But at least try to, you know, drill down as to something that you're at least remotely interested in, because you're going to find most of the salespeople are men, and men don't like to drag us around as we shop. Imagine going shopping, Christina, with your husband, significant other, whatever. And you're like, okay, I want to go look at my husband just goes crazy. He's like, I thought we came to get a black dress. And I'm like, but there's 9 departments on that black dress. And so when you have a predominantly male sales force, unfortunately, and a over 50% female consumer, that's where the disconnect, that's where the friction comes in, because men don't sell the way that we shop. And I think the key word to that is shop. I want to look around. I don't want to just geo-target one car and say, okay, this is it, sign me up. Even though I might know in my head. So there's that. So try to narrow down at least your choices. Number 2, and I know you're a financial expert, you need to know your budget. You need to know, you know, what it is that you have for a down payment. What is your monthly budget? And don't let some salesperson talk you into changing your mind or compromising, because, the reality is you're not going to give up Starbucks for the rest of your life. And I mystery shop dealerships around the country. And I've literally had probably 10 salespeople, men and women, tell me when we mystery shop them, you know, do you drink Starbucks? And of course I say yes. And they say, well, if you give up Starbucks, there's another $112 a month. I mean, it's so, I don't think that they would say that to a man, first of all. And number 2, I don't want to give up my Starbucks, and I shouldn't have to have new transportation. So go in very resolved with what you can afford and don't compromise. And then I would say the last piece is your trade-in. You know, there's great trade-in tools, TrueTrade.com, Cars.com, KellyBlueBook.com, all kinds of resources that we can at least get some sort of jumping off point, some sort of starting point for our trade-in value. So when you go in as an educated consumer, you have an appointment ahead of time. Don't just walk in the dealership, because God knows who you'll get, right? Go to the website. See who, you know, most dealers have the pictures of their salespeople on there. See the man or woman that you want to work with, call them, email them, text them, set an appointment, let them know what you expect, let them know how much time you have to work with. Otherwise they will keep you there all day long, dragging you around. And you need to say, you know, and I think 2 hours is a fair number, 2 to 3 hours, that, you know, that you have a couple hours and that you'd like to, you know, be very efficient. and get the paperwork started ahead of time, right? Let them know what your trade-in is. This whole thing, this mystery of holding back, I'm not going to tell them I've got a trade. That's 1980 something. Let them know what your trade-in is, because remember, you've got access to tools to see whether, you know, they are treating you fair on a trade value. You know, you've got to, you know, but let them know your expectations up front and set that appointment. It really does take a lot of the discomfort and the awkwardness out of the car buying process.
So that's good. So step one is to search for your car beforehand and really narrow down what type of car you want. Number two is to know your budget. What is number three?
Number three is to know what your down payment is. You know, your budget for your monthly payment, but your down payment. How much cash do you have available to put down on that car, if any, right? And then number four is, if you have a trade-in, to go to cars.com, Kelley Blue Book, TrueTrade.com. Any of those three are fantastic third-party resources. And, you know, load in the information on your trade. It's super easy nowadays. Typically, you just have to put in the license plate number and the amount of miles and excess wear and tear. And it will give you at least a starting point on the value of your trade-in. So now you're walking in and you're armed, right? There's really not a curveball that they can throw at you. But what some unscrupulous dealers try to do, they try to get you off of the price and they try to talk to you about how much money down and how much money a month. You know, you don't need to get into any of that until you know the price of your car, how much money you have down comfortably, and the amount of your trade-in. And I think I would say, last but not least, I would check out if you have a bank or a credit union that you do business with. Now, I think it's easier to do the financing with the dealer. Don't get me wrong. I really do. But you can at least understand what interest rates look like, because interest rates are based on credit scores. And I have had consumers say before, well, I got 6%. And we'll ask what their credit score is. And, you know, they've got a 620 credit score. Well, then that's your interest rate. But if you've got a credit score over 720, you know, you're going to have the tier one rates. So I think those are all important things to know, because when you go in and you're standing in your power and you say, I've got this at my credit union, I've got 1,000 down, this is my budget, and I've done and this is what I believe my trade's worth, and this is what I'm going to offer you for the car. I mean, where's the friction?
You just made it so easy. Exactly. Just going in equipped. Now, what are some of the ploys? Like, if you come in and you're uneducated and let's say the salesperson is banking on that, what are some of the trade secrets, if you will, that if we know those ahead of time, we can be prepared for those?
Well, I'm going to tell you the first trade secret is, in today's consumer world, is the salespeople are usually the uneducated ones. The turnover on the retail showroom floors is at about 90% in domestic stores, meaning like Ford, General Motors. It's a little lower in your imports, Honda, Toyota, Mercedes. It's probably about 60%. So there's a really good chance that you're going to, because as women especially, or as consumers, you know, we do about 18 hours worth of research before we ever hit the showroom floor, right? And so there's a good chance that you know more than your salesperson does. So they're not even smart enough to trick you most of the time. That's why, you know, I recommend taking control of the situation up front, you know, not getting too chatty. I would say the biggest ploy is that salespeople try to ingratiate themselves to you big time from the very beginning and try to build a friend relationship. Well, you're not there to make friends. You're there to do a deal. I recommend being pleasant, being, you know, reasonable in your negotiations, all of the above. But, you know, but they're, especially with women, I mean, they are trained to do this. I have trained people over the years to do this, is to start building that inroad in that relationship. Well, I don't want a relationship with somebody as a consumer until after they sell me a car, till after I'm happy with my purchase. So, you know, go in as a businesswoman or a businessman that you are, and keep it all business. And then after you buy the car and after you're happy with the deal, I think that's the point to start making those inroads and those relationships. Women tend to be emotional buyers, and once they start getting to us, once they start making that relationship, well, I'm a single mom, and I've heard everything from salespeople, to try to talk the people into buying something that they don't want, they can't afford, or whatever. And I just think as consumers, you have to be really guarded against that. This is a car deal.
Yeah, and I think many times as women too, we don't want to hurt somebody else's feelings. So if there's that real friendship and camaraderie, and then they're selling us something, and then even though we want to negotiate, we don't want to hurt their feelings, or we don't want to make them feel bad. So we might go along with something just because we have established a relationship, and relationships are very important.
Yes. Yeah, totally. And so, yeah, it's totally fine to, you know, to do that. And again, to be nice, to be kind, that's all the above. But to sit, you know, talking about the names of your dogs and your kids and everything pre-sale, it's premature.
Now, what about the point where you're looking at a car and they want to take you to the desk and they want to sit down and they want to go talk to the manager and come back and see if they can give this price? What is that all, that rigmarole?
You know, unfortunately, it's pretty much a necessary evil because the salespeople do not have the authority to make a deal less than the window sticker, which, you know, I agree with. But I feel like you will eliminate a lot of that back and forth if, again, you do your homework. And, you know, and I'll tell your listeners, you know, a car dealer has a right to make money. They do. Otherwise, they're not going to be there the next time you want to go buy your car or have it serviced. So if it was me, I would research the invoice price of the car, which is on Kelley Blue Book. It's everywhere. You know, and let the dealer make $100 over the factory invoice minus any rebates, minus any rebates, factory rebates they might have. And that's a fair car deal. It's a good car deal for the consumer. It's fair to the dealer where, you know, if you've got problems or, you know, you need to come back in, they're not like, oh God, here comes that person who just completely right. And, you know, so go in with an offer. You know, knowing, you know, if it's a Honda Accord and the window sticker is $27,995, chances are there's about 5% markup in it, but you can check all that online. You know, and find out what that invoice price is, add $100 to it, tell them you'll pay them that, ask them what the factory rebates are, you subtract that, and you work your deal from there. That ends the back and forth. But consumers to this day still sit there and they go, okay, I want this car. And then they let the car dealer start the deal. Big mistake. You start the deal. You start the deal, you end the deal. And I mean, you eliminate just about all the back and forth because the dealer is always going to start at the window sticker, most likely.
And will they even mention a factory rebate if you don't know about it? Or they typically will let you know that there is a factory rebate. They have to. Okay.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, because the factory rebate is actually given to the consumer now. Back in the old days, it was assigned to the dealer. So to you're on the right track on that. It did not happen back in the older days, but today it is assigned to the consumer. So the dealer has no way of getting around assigning that rebate to the consumer.
Great. And do the dealers care? Do they give better prices if you do the financing through them, or is it going to be the same either way?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you will. You know, on a tight deal, sometimes when I had a tight deal, meaning I was losing some money to sell the car, I would ask the customer, you know, if you'll do the financing with me, you know, I'll lose $500 because I'm going to make it back up on the financing. Right. And that's fair because, again, car dealers are not public enemy number one. They're not. Car dealers are there. Most of them are entrepreneurs. You know, they support the communities. They're good people. And so they're usually the person on the sign is a pretty decent human being. Unfortunately, the workforce has gotten pretty scarce. And so, you know, there's just, you know, that's unfortunate, you know, and I had bad salespeople over the years. I didn't know when I hired them, and sometimes it took a while to discover it. So, yeah.
So that's built in. But to your point, you can probably look online and figure out who's been there for a long time. Who's one of the top salespeople? Yes. I'm guessing the top salespeople are there because they do a good job.
Yes.
Not because they're tricky. They're great at tricking the consumers because they have fair deals. They've been there a long time. They know what they're doing. They're educated. And
they get referrals.
Referrals. Yeah. And some of my best experiences buying cars is the real working with the professional salespeople that they do sit down and they do want to help you get the right deal. And they're not there to try to trick and just get the sale.
Right. Right.
Now, what do you say about some of these online dealers where I forget, what is it? The ones that have the dome and you buy it online and that has the Nirvana. Yeah. Carvana.
You know, what do I say about Carvana? I feel like, you know, the customer loses the power of negotiation. It's a one price. But customers, especially women, are willing to do that because they hate to negotiate. And so I kind of reverse engineered that in my book. If I can teach you how to negotiate, why in the heck would you ever go to a one price dealer? Where I know for a fact you could save $1,000 going to somebody that'll negotiate. And I don't know about you, Christina, but $1,000 to me is $1,000. I mean, that's a sunroof, that's leather seats, it's anything, right? And so, but Carvana has built a business on solving a problem, and the problem is that people hate to buy. Well, the problem is car buying sucks. That's which is their commercial, right?
Well, that's good to know. But what you're saying is that those fixed prices means that in probably a good majority of the time, you're going to pay more for the car for really the avoiding every the hassle of going to the dealership. So you're paying a premium to avoid the hassle.
Every single time you will pay more for the car. There was not a deal out of CarMax or Carvana that I could not have beat by $500 minimum, usually $1,000, but a minimum of $500. But the customer would say to us, it's just so darn easy. I don't have to negotiate. I pick out my car and they say, this is the price. So, I mean, there's power in that to the consumer. But again, I'm trying to reverse engineer it and say, these are what, you know, both of these companies were both a bunch of Silicon Valley guys that were not in the car business who came in to solve a problem, but they're capitalizing on it. So, and I don't blame them because consumers hate to buy cars, but why not just arm consumers and then pick out the best dealers in the country and vet them? And now I've solved a problem that my consumers don't have to pay an extra $500 or $1,000 for a car. And, you know, there's a real win in the fact that when you negotiate for something and you get what you want, like that's a real, it helps you in business too, right? You know, it teaches, as women, we don't, and you know this, because, you know, women don't like confrontation, which is why they don't like to negotiate. We, as you know, we just typically don't like confrontation. So women will typically back off, whereas men, they'll fight, physically fight, right? And that's why you don't see as many women get into fist fights as men do. It's because we will walk away from a fight, whereas men will engage. So think about that when you're dealing in a sales or negotiating situation.
So looking for a car, and let's say even you want to buy a used car, there's tons of little pop-ups, like little side road, very small type dealerships where they have a small. So what do you say to those guys that maybe you're looking online and looking for a car and you can go to 10 different little pop-up locations? I guess it's not pop-ups, but they're teeny tiny car lots.
Yeah. I would say no to that. And especially, you know, I mean, a really good point. You know, most consumers are looking for a late model pre-owned vehicle, right? And they're a great deal. And if you can find late model pre-owned vehicles, that's another podcast, but I highly recommend looking at those, right? Because you let someone else take the depreciation the first 2 years. But if you go to a franchised car dealer to buy a pre-owned vehicle, they have got certified techs on staff that do what we call the reconditioning of the car, right? So these techs have been through training in schools. They understand the computers in the car. They are certified to recondition these cars. You go to the mom and pop shops, and when they go to recondition a pre-owned car, and all pre-owned cars have to be reconditioned, right? They have to go through safety inspections and tires and all of that. You're getting some shade tree mechanic, most likely. And so the car is not getting near as thorough of an inspection from a mom and pop as it is getting from a franchised car dealer. And frankly, if you have a problem with a franchised car dealer, they have to take care of it. They have to act because of the franchise laws that they're under. A mom and pop doesn't. I mean, they can choose to do business or not to do business. So I would tell your listeners, if you can find reputable franchised car dealers, and I love pre-owned cars. I think they definitely serve their purpose. And I think you can get a smoking deal.
Great. And is there anything, so also going into a dealership, I found there's all these upsells. Like, do you want to buy the extended warranty? And do you want to add this on or add that on? Any advice?
Yeah.
Those?
Yeah. Now, I will tell you, I always buy an extended warranty because cars break. And I saw firsthand as a car dealer that tens and thousands of dollars sometimes of repairs that these warranty companies pay for. I like maintenance contracts. When I bought my new Mercedes, I bought the maintenance contract because it's discounted maintenance that has to be done anyways to keep your warranty in compliance. So why not buy it at a lesser price? I like, depending on the kind of car you buy, I like the road hazard and tire, because tires are expensive, especially if you've got expensive wheels and tires. Some of the things I would say buyer beware on is things like undercoatings. Your listeners are all over the country. But in Texas, for example, we don't have salt on the roads. We don't have snow and ice and all of that. So the chances of us having corrosion under our cars are slim to none, but there are still dealers out there that will sell it because they can. So I would say no on that, unless you live in the Northeast. Paint seals and things like that, I like them, but I think you can buy them less expensive. Window tinting, you can typically get less expensive if you do it aftermarket. So, but I'll tell you, anything that protects, you know, cars are so intricate now, right? It isn't just about, you know, throwing it up on the lift and fixing it. These cars are, they are computers. They have to be updated. I mean, you can literally update the entire technology on some of these cars just by taking it to the dealer and they plug it into an iPhone. And you've now updated the technology, you've updated the sound system, you've updated the nav system. So, you know, you want to do business with the franchise dealers. You want to have the factory warranty. I think it's important. It's a big investment.
You know, that's really great advice. And I've wondered that myself are these just upsells? Am I paying a high premium for these things? Is it less expensive to do it aftermarket?
Yeah. And so, you know, the one little hack I'll give you on that, and I'll probably get crushed for every car dealer that listens to your podcast, is the warranty price is negotiable. And one of the things that I would tell your listeners is that they, you know, I would not ask for any more than a $500 discount, but the dealer can do it all day long and still make a little bit of a profit. And so, you know, the nice way as women who don't like to confront say, you know what, I would really like to take that warranty. I see the value in it, but let's say it's $3,500. Say, but you know, at this point, I think all I can budget for it is $3,000. So if you can accept that, that would be great. And I'd love to have it. Otherwise, I'll just wait until my factory warranty's out and I'll shop around for it. Oh, and all you have to say is I'll shop around for it.
That's so good. Awesome.
And just very nice, right? Very matter-of-factly. You know, and $500 is, you know, I never liked to do it, but I did it if somebody asked. Because there's about $1,000 markup in that factory warranty. And the dealer's got some risk in that warranty. They do on repairs. And so, you know, all day, if every customer would have bought a warranty at a $500 disc, I would have done it.
And anything when it comes to financing, like you said, is the biggest piece of advice is maybe check with your credit union first, find out, you know, what's going to be the best rate and what you'd qualify for at your bank, and then take that to the dealer. Is there anything else that they're trying for but if you come equipped with your numbers, I mean, they're going to probably accept that because they know that's the market rate, or what are they looking for?
It is the market rate. You know, and the other thing that's interesting, you know, my son-in-law bought a car about 6 months ago and he had gone to the dealership and then he came home and I said, where's your new car? I was babysitting the kids. And I said, where's your new car? And he said, oh, I left it at the dealership. And he said, because the interest rate, it wasn't new. It was a pre-owned car. It was 2 years old. And he goes, because the interest rate was, I guess, 6%. And I've got a 750 credit score. And I said, how old was the car? And he said, 2 years old. And I said, you should have called me because a two-year-old car has a higher interest rate. So, you know, interest rates escalate for two reasons. One, credit score. So there's a tiering system on a new car. You're 1, 2, or 3, and it can escalate up to 5 points depending on your credit score. It can actually escalate up to 18% depending on your credit score. I should take that back. But for the average person, up to 5 points. And then number two, on a pre-owned vehicle, because the banks see it as a greater risk on a pre-owned, I guess, just with miles and wear and tear, you know, the interest rates are usually 2 to 3 points higher than they are on a brand new car. So that's where homework comes in. You know, bankrate.com, you can check on that one. And there's a couple other out there that, you know, that you can check and see, you know, what does that tiering system look like? Again, for easiness, I would say do the paperwork at the dealership if you can, but tell them to match your rate. If you can match my rate, you know, this is it. I'd love to do business with you, but this is the interest rate I've got at my credit union. If you can match it, awesome. If you can sell me your warranty for $3,000 or $500 discount, I'll buy it right now. Otherwise, I'm going to shop around. Awesome. And so that doesn't have to be a big, you know, knockdown, drag out, just very nice and matter of fact. And what they're going to say is, wow, she knows what she's talking about.
That's great. Now, what I find, you know, being in the money business is I find that especially when it comes to cars, people are buying cars based on payments, not based on the price of the car.
Right.
And so what I've found is many times people are buying too much car for what they can afford. So they're doing these 60-month contracts.
72, 84.
Yes. And they're just 96. extending them. So they're saying, oh, well, we can get this better car for your monthly payment. But now they're in these contracts for these long periods of time. So any advice to that says, you know, more to make sure we're staying within affordability of what we can afford for a car, not that, oh, we can afford this payment only if we drag it out now. How many years?
Yeah, I have to tell you, 72 months to me is a, so let me back up. So 72 months for me would be the absolute maximum threshold, period, dot, dot, end of story, on a high-end car. A car that's maybe $60,000 or $70,000 and above. On a less expensive car, it isn't going to go as long. So, you know, you don't want a 72 or an 84 month loan, or you're never going to be able to trade out of it. You won't, because of the way that cars depreciate. And so I hate them. You know, and I'm going to tell you, I don't even like a 72 month loan. I feel like it puts a consumer in a bad place. Because they are not able to trade. I don't care what kind of car it is. They're not trading at 3 years. And that's typically when the average consumer wants to trade. Technology changes, body style changes, life needs change, right? Especially for a young millennial couple. They get married now in 3 years. Now, you know, we need more space for car seats, or we had car seats, but now, you know, the kids are driving. We want something more economical, you know, than the Suburban that we've been driving. And it really puts you into a financial trap. So as you're doing your budgets, you know, I would really recommend trying to figure out what you can afford within 60 months or less.
Yeah, that's good. And I've noticed many people since they do these very, you know, these long payment terms, then they do the, when they go to trade it in, it's a negative value because they've not paid enough down. And now they're stacking that on top of the next monthly payment. You know, so they're paying off their old car and the payment of the new car. And now their monthly payment from their car is really busting their budget. Like the amount that they're paying for a car payment each month is eating up a good part of their income.
Yeah, and that's the problem. So, I mean, you know, the negative equity has to go somewhere. So you either have to pay it in cash or you have to roll it into your next car loan. And then you're really in trouble. And I'll tell your listeners, everybody gets into a situation of negative equity. It happens. A good way to bail out of negative equity is two ways. Number one, maybe buy a two-year-old car if you're trying to roll in negative equity, because, you know, so many times, you know, or even a one-year car, because, you know, you're able to buy it so far back of the value of the car. And so that helps to roll in the negative equity. Or find a vehicle that has a large factory rebate on it, because, you know, that helps chew up some of the negative equity. And then sometimes, you know, you might just want to pay on it a little bit longer. And, you know, but, you know, Christina, you don't normally see people with negative equity who are in 4-year loans. Doesn't happen.
Exactly. So it's just great advice there. And I think many people, when they're going in, they're just not thinking that way. They don't even like the thought of negative equity just isn't even an awareness until later on. So just the, like you said, the advice of let's keep these payment contracts, you know, what do you call them? Just the terms, I guess the terms shorter and just stay within that affordability.
Yeah. And that also puts friction between the consumer and the dealer, you know, because now the customer comes in, they get their car appraised and they're like, yeah, the last guy I bought the car from, you know, took advantage of me. Well, they probably didn't take advantage of them, but the financing terms weren't set up the best. And for another $50 or $70 a month, they could have had a whole less year of payments and not been in this situation where they're $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 upside down. And so I think it's important that, you know, salespeople become more financially literate themselves, you know, and I know that that's your battle cry, you know, for all consumers should be more financially literate. But it does give the consumer ultimately a bad taste in their mouth about the industry, the product, or whatever.
And do you have, are there any benefits over buying a new car over, let's say, a pre-owned car when it comes to affordability? Meaning with new cars, maybe there are the factory rebates or there's something that gives, you know, it's weighing the pros and cons. Obviously, the pre-owned, we're saving whatever that drive off the lot depreciation happens the second you take it off the lot. But can that be, like I said, balanced out with a new car other ways so that ultimately it's more or less you're getting a new car for more or less the same value?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Not on a 2-year-old car, because the factory rebates are typically between $1,000 and $2,000. But maybe on a 1-year-old car, you know, I mean, you know, a great hack to get something that has never been registered before, but it's got maybe 5,000 or 6,000 miles on it, is to ask the dealer, you know, do you have any demonstrators? Do you have any demos? Because, you know, the vehicles have never been registered to anybody, but, you know, they've got 6,000 miles. And typically the dealers will sell those for invoice less holdback. So, you know, you can typically buy the car, you know, $1,500 back of invoice minus the factory rebates, and it still qualifies for new car financing. You can get some great deals on demos.
What you've done here is that you've just made it really easy to buy a car. And by following the steps and giving the advice, listening, heeding the advice that you've given, I'm thinking, wow, buying a car is actually pretty easy. It just really eliminates that fear factor.
You know, it does. And again, just, I mean, you know, you have a real estate company, you know, I mean, people do not dread buying a new house. They love it. It's fun. They have amazing realtors like you and your team. And, you know, they get to go out and just enjoy it and look and whatever. I mean, your car is your second biggest purchase. Why would you not feel exactly the same way? But I can tell you, realtors aren't sitting there in the house trying to say, how much down, how much a month? You have to buy this house today or somebody else is going to sell. I mean, that doesn't happen in the real estate community, right? I mean, it's all about the buyer's journey and it's about the experience. And if you're going to be a successful realtor, you're going to make it fun to buy a house.
Yeah, that's a great comparison. And it's so true. It's so much fun to go shopping for a house and it's dread. Yeah. It's like a dread, like, oh, to go buy a car. Like, are you kidding me? I like have to drum up all this energy and courage to just get out there and do it.
Yeah. And the crazy part is you're going to spend more time in your car than in your house, most likely awake, right? So why would you not want to go out and just like have fun, check out the cars, you know, the auto industry has screwed it up so bad. And it really does get down to, you know, that frontline sales force, you know, because the dealership itself can have the best of intentions, but that frontline sales force, it's getting harder and harder to find people that want to sell cars for a living. So, you know, and then the training, my heart goes out to every car dealer in the country. You know, I really fundamentally believe that they want to do the right thing. And it gets down to people and the lack of people in the industry.
That makes sense. But then again, if you come in as a consumer completely equipped, you can take control of the situation and get the car you want and drive out and be happy. And it was a great experience.
And can I tell you, the customers I love the most were the ones who came in and said, here's what I'm willing to do. And they were reasonable because they boom, boom. I'll be like, okay, I look at it. Yep. That's a good deal. Let's go. Easy peasy.
Yeah. Easy peasy. Win-win. And that's the thing. Yeah. Like, let's make this a win-win experience.
Yeah.
Well, oh my gosh, I love that. Well, anything else? Any final words? So in your book, is there anything that you would love readers to take away from that? And we'll put a link to your book in the show notes.
Yeah, thank you. We have a podcast on carsherway.com. And every week, I'm about to start my second show on iHeart. I've got a call-in radio show. And it's on Sundays. And anybody can call in from anywhere in the country. It's super easy. No 800 numbers. It's #250. So all I can do is #250. Car and the keywords cars her way. And we're on from 11 to 12 central and we're on from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. central on Sundays. So #250 cars her way. It doesn't matter where you live in the country. We will take your call and we'll answer your questions live on the radio. But it's funny because all the consumers have the same questions. Like the questions don't change.
Right. And like you've laid it out here. I mean, you pretty much, this is as complicated as it gets. So I love Thank that you. You're doing this. And I just love that you just being a woman in the industry that is changing things and making it easy and making it a great experience and being a woman having these shows, most of these car shows, obviously they're all men. So this is super cool.
They are all men. There are 10 major car shows in the country. And they're hosted by men and they're on men's male dominated stations. So what's interesting, mine are both on male dominated stations because women, ladies, do not listen to AM talk radio because they're sports and news typically. And I don't know why women don't listen to, especially the news station. The one we're on in Houston is the biggest news station in Houston. It's the giant gorilla. But it skews 70% male. And so, you know, I think for us to be good consumers and to be more involved is that, you know, we need to listen to what some of the guys listen to.
Yes.
And then the one in Austin, we're on sports radio KVET. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Yep. Well, you're amazing. Thank you for leading the charge on this and keep up the great work. It's just such a pleasure. And again, I just love how you're distilling this down and making it simple and making it so anybody can go and enjoy the car buying experience.
That's right. It needs to be fun. Carsherway.com.
That's great. Well, one final question I like to wrap up all my podcasts, and that's to do a little myth busting. So being in the car industry your entire career, is there any myth that you would like to bust?
That car salespeople are not lower than congressmen or senators or car dealers, excuse me. And I think that's a myth because I think about when I was a car dealer and the hundreds and thousands of dollars a month or year that we put back in for charity and supporting the local, you know, baseball teams and everybody. I mean, I supported everybody, you know, and so it's unfortunate that we do so much in the community as car dealers and we get such a bad rap, but you know, some of it's well-deserved also. So that would be my myth, that car dealers are an important part of the community. And if we can find a way to eliminate the friction between the dealer and the consumer and bring everybody together, it'll be a happier place to live, happier world.
I love that. And one thing that you had mentioned before we actually pressed the play button, you'd mentioned that you've been curating dealerships and making it just a curated place where people can go and have a vetted dealership. So how would we find those?
At carsherway.com, carsherway.com. And like I said, we've launched in Houston and in Austin. So we have about 27 dealers so far, and they cover all the makes and models. And like I've sat down, I've trained their staff. I've had endless meetings with them. Their consumers know that they've got the bat line to be able to call me, all of it. And as we scale and as we take on more cities and we take on more dealers, you know, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the good guys and gals.
That's great.
Not just the good ones. There's a lot of good ones, but the ones that are easy to do business with, right? That accept the fact that all consumers should be empowered and that all consumers deserve a great experience.
Well, I love that. So you've just curated it, given your stamp of approval. So to make it that much easier. All right, girlfriend. You're amazing. It's so good to reconnect with you. Thank you for your work. And thank you for sharing all this. Like I said, you just changed everything as far as my mindset, as far as my next car purchase.
Well, good. Thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you to all your listeners.
You're welcome. If you're inspired by today's show and you would like to learn more about My Money Coaching, here's what I need you to do. Head over to Kristina.com/call. That's KRISSTINA.com/call. And book an appointment to speak with me. In less than 30 minutes, we will get absolutely clear on why you're not earning enough no matter how hard you work, why you can never get ahead no matter how much you earn, and what you need to know in order to finally have the time and money freedom you're working so hard for. Remember, you're not alone. 95% of Americans are one life event away from financial crisis. I will be the first person to teach you why this is the case and how to be in the other 5% that has no fear around money. No one can do this alone. You need expert help. I've helped everyone from modest earning professionals to those earning 8 figures per year get off the financial hamster wheel and finally win the money game. I look forward to helping you too. Head over to Kristina.com/call and book your call with me today. I'm Kristina Wise. Thank you for spending your valuable attention with me today. We will meet again soon.